All right, I want to welcome you guys. My name is Pastor B. Wallace. You are listening to Simplify Complexity, your relationship podcast. And I'm really excited because we have a really close friend of mine that I've known for several years now, Dr. Charles Dorsey. And he's here just to share a bit of his heart and his experience in the area of just fatherhood and in the relationship he you could say didn't have, and the relationship that he now has with his father, and how that's impacted his relationship with his wife and his relationship, you know, through the dating process. And so I'm really excited about that. Before we get to that, first, I just want to thank Harris Booker, who is our sponsor. I really want to encourage you to give him a call at 909-717-4886. And you can be informed about insurance, understanding your assets. And so he has a big heart. Give him a call and he'll just listen and share his advice. So, Dr. Charles Dorsey, man, how you feeling?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling wonderful. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, man, we're excited to have you. So this book, man, the book is Fathers and Sons Speak, Telling My Father's Story. And telling any story, right, can be really hard, can be difficult. So how did that come about, man?
Yeah, man. So earlier this year, I was sitting here, and the Lord prompted me to reconnect with my father after 28 years. After 28 years, he told my brother that he wanted to reach out to me and have a conversation with me.
So let's pause there, man. So here it is. You have not really talked to your father in 28 years. Yeah. And now he wants to reach out. So I just want to get in your psyche for a moment, because I'm sure there's some animosity. I'm sure there's a little bit of anger. What was going through your mind at that moment that this guy who, for the most part, you've only had respect for because of blood. I don't even know if you have respect, but all of a sudden now he reaches out.
Yeah.
So what's that? What's going through your mind at that moment?
Yeah, man, I was kind of going through life pretty smooth. I had achieved some success. I had some highs. I was married, and I was just not expecting to receive this invitation. So for me, I quizzed my brother. I said, man, what is this about? You know, and I actually tried to get him to come with me, because I wasn't going to go by myself, because what are we going to talk about, right? Like, why can't he just send me a note, or why can't he call me himself?
And so, did you even want to? I mean, at first, were you just feeling like, you know what, I don't even want to talk to him? No.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that, because I was raised to respect my elders. So I wasn't going to sort of be disrespectful, but I had no interest in going over there. It's like, what, why, you know, what is this about?
It's 28 years, right?
Yeah, it was 28 years, man. And for me, it was like, okay, what is this? You know, so I was highly curious and inquisitive, and reluctant, honestly. But you know, you try to put the situations together. That's what we do, right? We try to say, here's the ideal situation, you know. And so I told my brother, I said, hey man, come with me. You know, do you know what he wants to talk about? And so that's how I dealt with my fear, my insecurity around accepting that first invitation.
Okay, so you go and meet. What was that like?
Strange. It was strange. We sat in a room and, you know, it was quiet. I looked around the room, cause you know, I want to see how my father living.
Okay.
And he lives in a senior residential apartment complex. So I was looking around and, you know, we were walking up to his apartment and I was up here like, okay, heart beating real fast. But then he started sharing, and then he asked me a key question. He said, now, what do you remember? And as I shared with him some of the things that I remembered, there was one huge, huge story where he corrected me, if I could just have liberty to share that really quickly.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
So in my childhood, I remember this black van.
Okay.
And I remember having great positive experiences with this black van, and it was my uncle's van. It was my uncle's van, and I remember going to pick up my mother one day. My uncle was driving. We turned the corner and I even like fell out of the car because I was playing with the knob, and I ended up not hurting myself, but getting back into the car. This is like a great positive experience in my childhood with my uncle and this black van. Well, as I shared that story, my father said to me, he was familiar with that story. He said to me two things. He said, I know that black van. It's my black van. And your uncle has never been to California. And so it tripped me out because I was like, wait a minute. So what I thought was an experience with my uncle was
a positive experience.
Yeah, was actually an experience with my father. And so it messed my whole world up because it said to me that my memories and my stories might not be as accurate as I thought they were.
Right. So I want to go here real quick. So because I know we have listeners who they really have challenging experiences with, you know, maybe a mother, maybe a father in their past. And forgiveness plays a big role. I mean, how, to get to that point to where you're like, you know what, I want to just sit down and meet, to even talk. There has to be a forgiveness process. And so what was that like? And how would you encourage somebody who is dealing maybe with the same thing? And they're like, no, I'm not going to talk. I can't forgive this person.
Yeah. See, I think forgiveness is absolutely imperative, but where that forgiveness is projected is actually equally as important.
Okay.
I think we have to have compassion for people, right? Mm. So let's pull our parents out of parenthood and make them people first.
That's good.
People who have problems, people who have challenges,
people who
are broken, people who have stories that we have never heard. And I like to say this, Brian, that when someone shares their story with you, it is the most sacred time and the most sacred space.
Right.
It is like a burning bush moment.
Right.
And so the challenge is we're not able to forgive people because we don't have the compassion that we should have for them as people first.
And that's so hard because, you know, as you said, when it comes to our parents, you're right. We don't view them as people.
Yeah.
We view them as they're more than just a person. And so when they make a mistake, it's like it's unforgivable.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we forget that they're still people. They're still imperfect.
Yeah.
And as you were talking about that whole compassion component, you know, that's where God comes into play. And he says, you know, forgive your debtors as I've forgiven you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so important. But I also say, man, it's our expectation, Brian.
Yeah.
Like it is not wrong to expect a parent to be a parent. But it is wrong to expect a parent not to be a person. Mm. See what I'm saying? And so there has to be this, yes, you're my parent, but you're also a person. And so the older we get, we experience humanity and personhood. And if we were to judge ourselves by the same expectations that we judge our parents, then we would never really get anywhere. But the truth is, we found a way to deal with our own inconsistencies. And so we have to be able to give that own that compassion to others. And I think it starts with our parents. The other things that I think is when we talk about these relationships, we need to move away from the words good and bad.
Okay.
These are things that are bridge destroyers. So when we look at a relationship, we say, this is a good relationship, this is a bad relationship. I think we need to give our relationships neutral ground and look for the truth in those relationships.
Okay.
And don't categorize them because that also makes it difficult for us to go into the encounter with a clean heart.
Now, I want to go here. Since we're kind of talking about this forgiveness and this hurt and how we view our parents, and this breakdown of relationships, many people don't understand that how that carries with you. I like to relate it as almost like you're being haunted by your past.
Yeah.
And this haunting from your past, it impacts your future. And unless you recognize it, unless you come to a place and realize how your past is impacting and haunting your future, you won't even realize how it might be destroying this relationship that you're in. It might be destroying, you know, a marriage. It might impact the men that you date. It might impact the women that you date. And so talk about how this struggle and this hurt from your past, maybe how it impacted your relationships with women that you, how you viewed women maybe.
Yeah.
So go from there.
Oh man, this is so good, Brian. I think that before I reconciled or walked or began to walk this path of understanding my father's story, I didn't even know who I was.
Wow.
So I was operating at like 50% capacity.
Right, because you were ignoring it.
what I was able to give to a person, right? So in a relationship with a woman, there are two places here, because the absence of relationship with my father meant absence of key tool sets that helped me to understand how to interact with a man, number one.
Right.
So then this puts me in a position to have to trial and error my definition of manhood. Well, the candidate, the test person,
subject,
is
right.
the woman. And so then I then rehearse my entire life trying to define manhood, and every mistake tended to move me to the next relationship. So in my past is collateral damage.
Yeah.
And so this sometimes informs, I think, the commentary that women have of their relationship with men. But we never say it's because I had daddy issues.
Right. Because that shows weakness. And as a man, we don't want to show weakness. And so we'll just ignore the weakness. But we don't realize by ignoring the weakness, we're only causing more destruction.
Well, yeah. And we can't even trace it back. This is actually really deep, Brian, because it is like, so there's this great thing out now called Ancestry.com where you want to see where you came from.
Right.
But many people don't know where to start. So we don't attribute our relationship with women to the absence of father. We attribute it to other issues, and other people tell us, yeah, well, it's because you don't manage your schedule right. It's because you're not a nice person. It's because, you know, of this, or it's because of that. And the truth is, it's really tied to your identity.
Yeah.
So if you have not taken the time to explore where you come from, the stories that you stand on unknowingly, you know,
even the stories that hurt.
Yeah.
And I find that's the struggle is because there's so much pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can't even imagine for some women that, and even men that experience, you know, sexual abuse.
Or,
and the impact that plays. And how do you go back and go through that process to where you can get healing? And so what happens is people shut down.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about this molestation. I don't want to think about this abuse. I don't want to. And so we shut it down and we ignore it. And in order to get healing, we don't realize that we actually have to go through the process to go back and to go through that process, as you mentioned in your past, so you can get healing. So it's a closed case. So it's done.
Yeah. So there's a great leadership model, and it starts by encouraging the person to, number one, tell their story, and number two, embrace their pain. It says that pain is a gift to you.
Yeah.
And so just imagine if pain were gifts underneath a tree, how many gifts have remained unopened for years, just in the space of relationships, right? And so there are things that could be very helpful to us, particularly when we're dealing with women, man.
Yeah.
Particularly. So I also discovered now that my father and I have some of the same struggles. This is a trip, man.
It's hereditary.
Yeah, it is hereditary. And it's also spiritual, Brian.
It is.
Right? It moves through generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can you break it? Well, here's the truth. My father had actually overcome some of those things. I just never saw what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I never, and for the things that he had not overcome,
right?
I didn't know what my future would look like. See, there's no greater deterrent than to know, hey, I mean, literally in your bloodline, like, hey, that's where you're going, you know? And so you get some of all of this. And here's the other side of the story too, right? The women that we are in relationship with, sometimes they don't even encourage us to go and be in relationship with other men. Right? They're comfortable with it just being
with status quo.
And,
and there's almost a threat.
Yeah.
You know, where they feel like, you know, their relationship with you is harmed.
Yeah.
But they don't realize, like, no, I'm being made whole and I'm going to be more whole for you.
Well, let's go deeper.
Okay.
If I am experiencing a challenge with you in relationship with you, the woman.
Yeah.
And I want to go share with somebody. Sometimes there's a standard in a relationship where the woman doesn't want you to share. This is so secretive. We keep this in-house. We've known each other so long. And so we got to work it out amongst ourselves.
And we got to maintain an image.
Yeah. And see, that's so detrimental. It literally closes the door on an exploration process. Now, here's the strange part about it, right? You're in a relationship with a woman. You can't go talk to other women because that's a threat. Can't go talk to other men because really you don't know any men and she's not necessarily showing you to any man. And so now the challenge is, who do you talk to? Because you can't talk to her. Right. And so then a man implodes. Mm-hmm. And so you get other types of things that men do to try to express themselves or to find an outlet to release some of these.
And unfortunately, sometimes that is with another woman.
Oh, man.
And and let's be clear for those that are listening. That's not an excuse.
No way. That's not an excuse.
It's just the ripple effect that comes from past hurts and this process of not getting healing and going through the process of healing.
Absolutely.
And so let's go here, man. As we kind of take a shift, we talked about the hurt and the impact that the hurt has made and how that's impacted your future relationships.
Yeah.
The process of healing, what was that like? And I know you share some of that in the book. I want you to talk about a little bit of that process of healing and then how that impacted, you know, your marriage and your relationship.
Yeah, man. So there's a very long answer to this, but I never cried so much in my life. Let me just say, Brian, crying is an equalizer, Doc.
So as you say that, I want to say this scripture because it came to my mind earlier. Matthew 5:4. Yeah. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Yeah.
See, some of us, we're not being comforted because we're not mourning. We're not going through the process of mourning. Right. And it's okay to mourn.
That's good. Yeah.
But go ahead. Give us a finish.
It is a mourning. It is a shifting, right? And so for me, the healing was in the crying. The healing was in the acknowledging that I'm actually hurting, right? The healing was in finding words for that. That's why the book is out, because I had to share, like, this is the truth. Now, the interesting part is nobody else would know it because I'm living like there is no problem.
Right.
Right? So the healing was in the sharing. It was in the crying, and it was in, and so now I can go into ministerial places like I actually need to be ministered to. This is really good, right? Right? Like I actually need something, right? Versus, hey, I'm good, and I'm always ministering to somebody, or I'm always trying to help somebody else.
It's uncomfortable because it's a vulnerability.
Yeah. And so, see, I would encourage people to tell the truth about their story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't wear the mask.
Right.
Yes, this mess hurts. and so the healing process was sharing. And so the mourning was of the old me. You see what I'm saying? Like there was a me that I had to allow to get to the grave so that the new me could begin to start again with this new knowledge and with this new relationship. But I should also say that I was mourning because there was time that I could have spent with my father. And here it is, the father, because I realized that absence of relationship with my father was also absence of potential relationship with the father.
Right.
Because I cannot claim to be in relationship completely and holistically with the Heavenly Father and then deny completely the father that the father told to give birth to me.
And now, so since you went there, I just want to ask this question. So what does somebody do when the hurt is there, but they're not at a place where they're able to repair that relationship with the earthly father?
Yeah.
So what do they do to where they can get that wholeness in their Heavenly Father?
Yeah, I think that conversation with the father is key, but I also think reading stories of people who've done it, right? You have to see that it can be done. The carnage and the wreck, like, you don't understand. The truth is, you're not the first person to have this obstacle, and you won't be the last person.
Right.
So how do you get in a space where you can experience community? Because it's not that you don't want to, it's that you don't know where you're going to land if you do. You right. don't want to disrupt your entire life. You don't want to go through the inconvenience.
Well, let's go a step further. What if they've passed away?
Yeah.
So there is no opportunity.
Yeah. So there's a great part of the book that says, the grave is no place for stories. So go get the story, even if they are passed away.
And still get stories, your healing.
Yeah, get the story, because you got to know. So somebody has the story. Okay, and this is for the people who have relatives that are locked up as well, right? Somebody mm-hmm. knows that story. So start asking questions again. But don't ask the negative question. Ask the general question, like, who was my father? What did my father enjoy doing? You know, don't be like, oh, you know, what was his hangups? Don't start there. Say, hey, tell me a story about one of your experiences with my father and learn from that.
And go through that process of forgiveness.
Yeah, man.
You know, is really critical to where you can. The way I've always viewed it is when we hold unforgiveness, we're holding this offense. We're holding this thing against this person. And so that means I'm literally holding something. And so let's say if it's hurt or if it's abuse, I'm holding this thing. So that every time I think of that person, I'm holding it and I think it up and I pick it up and I'm holding it. And part of forgiveness is to let go.
Yeah.
So that way, when you think about that person, and as you just mentioned, as I think about their story, I'm not angry.
Yeah.
Because I've gone through the process of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Somebody mentions their name and I'm not all of a sudden shaken.
Yeah.
Because I've gone through that process of healing.
Well, can I say this? Can I say this?
Because
this is key. So we're talking about relationships. The exercise of forgiving the most painful parts of your story and any absence is actually useful to learning how to forgive in your relationships with other people.
Mm.
So some people can't forgive and can't trust in the relationships that they're currently in because they've never gone through the exercises that God gave them to go through so that they can be prepared to be in that relationship.
Yes.
Right? So we are revisiting every time we are in a relationship, particularly with a woman, and we don't know how to forgive them. It's partially because there's unfinished business in your own life. And I think that's the other thing, right? So now I can, with my wife, I can forgive her. It's changed the atmosphere of my home, right? Like, I didn't
know,
here's a trip. Like, I didn't like having people over my house. You want to know why? Because then they would see who I really am. And who I really am was somebody who had not forgiven.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Somebody who had all of this secret stuff, these stories that had not been told. So you couldn't come over my house. You were not welcome. I'd always make an excuse. So then my wife couldn't have company either. But she loves having company.
Right. So she had to suffer
because
of you not facing your issues.
Yeah. Why can't people come over? Now, I didn't know that it was about my daddy.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's big stuff. You know? So
it's just how many things are impacting our future that we don't even realize that it's connected to our past.
Dude, it's so crazy. Anyway. Yeah, man.
Man, as we come to a close, but first, I just want to thank you for being on and sharing from your heart and sharing, you know, just making yourself vulnerable. Did you have any last thoughts, man, as we kind of close, that you want to share with people that are listening?
Yeah, man. I would say tell your story. There are literally people waiting on you, particularly as it relates to the difficulty that you've experienced in any relationship, but particularly the ones in your past. Tell the truth about your hurt and about your pain, and then watch God use your story to change other people's lives. I would say
that's
that.
That's good. And let me say this, and I do want you to give, if you can just give a quick thought. How do you deal with the haters? Because not everybody, and this is so sad, because not everybody's happy that you're getting healing.
Yeah, man.
So how do you deal with the haters as you're going through this process to try to restore maybe relationships? You're going through this process of trying to get healing, and then you're getting pushback, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm trying to be made whole. I'm trying to deal with my past. You know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so the first set of haters, when I made the announcement that I was putting this book out, were right in my house. And so I would say the haters are evidence that you are on the right track. So if there are no haters, right, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, I'm not trying to say something just to, you know, get a rise. I'm saying you people have to resist you getting free because they're letting you know that they're not free. So this then shows you how transformative this process is going to be. So evidence like log the haters in the I'm doing right column and continue to move forward. And I would say don't even give them the time of day. Smile at them, love them even more, right? So Bible talks about loving them and it being like casting hot coals on their head. Smile at them.
It's not even that those haters, because I know that can be strong, but they love you.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not talking about people that don't like you. Yeah. They just don't understand the struggle. They don't understand what you're going through. And because they're not even attempting to understand, they're insensitive to the process that God is trying to bring you through.
Yeah.
And so you just you almost actually have to forgive them too.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You just set off a scripture in my head, right? When Jesus is on the cross and he says, forgive them for they know
not what they do.
They do.
All right, man, well, tell people, because I know we can't get it all in, tell people where they can get the book, man, so they can read it.
Yeah, man, you can get the book at www.fathersandsonsspeak.com.
Say that one more time, man.
All the information, www.fathersandsonsspeak.com. There you'll find all the information. You'll also have an opportunity to share your story. So feel inclined, be encouraged. Get the material. And you know what? Thank you, Pastor Brian. This has been an amazing experience, and I hope that it's helpful for those who are listening.
Man, I have no doubt. And so we thank our listeners. Please don't forget to go to the website to get more resources, simplifycomplexity.org. We have many other podcasts. We have blogs. We have videos up there. So go there. Also, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5-star so we can continue to just grow in our viewership, in our listenership. So we're just going to end in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings and every day that you give us. And Father, we know somebody's listening to this and they're hurting because of past relationships, because of something that has happened maybe with their father or their mother. And they don't want to go there. They don't. It hurts.
Yeah, Lord.
But Father, we just pray right now that you will give them strength, that you will help them to understand that you want to bring healing, that you want that healing to begin to impact their relationships and their future and not negatively impact. And so, Father, may they find a counselor. May they find somebody they can confide in, somebody that can help them through the process to get that healing.
Yeah, Lord.
And they can be set free. Father, I pray for Charles, Dr. Charles, and just his life, his marriage, his family, and that you continue to bless him. And bless this book to be a resource of ministry to others. We love you. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. God bless you guys. God keep you. Until next time, see you then.
I'd rather be your people, I'd rather see where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function.